In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Team Grace, periodically we find that there are some young people who can get stuck on words, or they have problems with certain letters, and they might slur their speech a little bit. And that's common. A lot of children go through the process of figuring out words and so on. One of our elementary schools, they had a child there, kind of slurred his speech, but he was so energetic. Every time there was a question, he was the one who raised his hand. He always wanted to be called on and so on. Well, it turns out that our retired bishop was going to go visit that school. And the pastor knew. He said, I need to make sure I let the bishop know about this child because I know he's going to raise his hand and I want the bishop to be ready. Well, in the hustle and bustle of the visit, the pastor forgot to tell the bishop about the child. And the bishop loves to ask children questions. So the first question he asked was the children, what is the Holy Trinity? And that boy raises his hand. He's so energetic. And the bishop calls on him and says, yes. And he says in some slurred way, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Bishop says, I'm sorry, what? The child repeats again, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The bishop says, I'm sorry, I don't understand. And the child looks at him and says, you're not supposed to. It's a mystery. Dear friends, God is an infinite mystery. No matter what we can say about him, God is infinitely more. And yet, out of love for us, God has revealed himself to us. He has revealed himself, disclosed himself, unveiled himself. We would say in popular jargon, he has shared himself. His own knowledge of himself he has given to us so that we might know him. And by knowing him, we might come to love him. That we might understand the immense love he has for us and want to reciprocate that. God reveals himself because he desires a relationship with us. And our relationship with the living God is grounded in Jesus Christ when God became a man in order to search us out and to lead us and bring us into that relationship with the living God. Our following of the Lord Jesus is called discipleship. And the core of our discipleship is prayer. We are called to be a people of prayer. We look at the life of Jesus Christ and we see that he was a man of prayer. He began every morning and every evening. The scriptures tell us he would seclude himself and go and pray and have communion with the Father. We see in various moments of his preaching, when he was challenged, he prayed. When he was fighting bad spirits, he prayed. He was a man of prayer. As his disciples, we are called to follow his way. And we are called to be a people of prayer. But it's important that we understand what prayer is. And we have the clarity of knowing what prayer is not. Which is why here at Our Lady of Grace for the Lenten season, our homily series is on the call to prayer. I want to remind us as a parish that prayer is not creating a wish list for God. So oftentimes people can still, even as adults, think that that's what prayer is. I just make my list, I check it twice, and I tell God what to do. You're going to do this, or you're going to fix this. And so oftentimes we hear from people, I tried to pray, it didn't work. What? I tried, it didn't work. I told God what to do, he didn't do it. I told him to do this, he didn't do it. I told him to go there, he wouldn't go there. I told him to heal this person, he wouldn't heal this person. I told him to fix this, he wouldn't fix it. I say, wow, that must be really terrible that God doesn't obey you. Right? I tried prayer, it didn't work. Dear friends, we should understand that that's not prayer. Petition can be a part of prayer, but petition has to be made in the right spirit. We'll talk about that later in our series. But even petition made in the right spirit is the lowest form of prayer. It is perhaps the one that we are most familiar with because it's the prayer form that we initially begin when we're children. When we're children, we ask our parents for something, they give it to us. So we learn to begin to pray. We ask God for things, we expect that he's going to give them to us. But as we grow in our discipleship, we are called to grow in our understanding of prayer, to realize that while petition is a part of prayer, there are other higher forms of prayer to which we are called. And we are called in discipleship to grow into our understanding of prayer. But again, regrettably, a lot of adult Christians still approach prayer as children. They do not yet understand the call to prayer. They are childish, juvenile, in terms of their understanding of what prayer is. We spoke last week, drawing from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, we are told that prayer is when God's thirst for us encounters our thirst for Him. Prayer is about communion with God, desiring to be with Him. We cannot enter into a fullness of prayer until we hear the summons of the first beatitude. The Lord tells us, "Blessed are they who are poor in spirit." And until we understand that poverty of spirit, we cannot enter into higher forms of prayer. We approach God in prayer and say, "I come with empty hands, a poverty of spirit. I have nothing. I ask for nothing. I expect nothing. I am here in prayer because I know that you love me and I want to love you back. I know that you desire a relationship with me and I want a relationship with you." That is the beginning of prayer. This is what the Catechism tells us, that they who do not pray are surely damned. Did you hear that? They who do not pray are surely damned. What? Yes, dear friends. If you are not allowing yourself to be in union with God in this life, how do you think you are going to be ready to spend eternity with Him? It is by nurturing a life of prayer in this life that we understand who God is, the God of love and compassion, gentleness, mercy, and understanding, the God of truth. It is by spending time with God that we become the children of God, that we fan into flame the graces we have received, that we receive His grace that transforms our hearts, and we begin to enjoy being with Him, not because we expect something or because we demand something, but because we know He loves us and we want to love Him back. The Catechism of the Catholic Church continues. Listen to this definition. Prayer is a vital and personal relationship with the living and true God. Vital. Vital. You know what else is vital? Oxygen. You know what else is vital? Food and water. We can imagine if we were stuck in a desert and we were dying of thirst and then we saw an oasis, we would be thanking God, running to that oasis in order to get water because our bodies would need that vitality of water. And that's how the church begins by explaining prayer. It is vital. We have to understand prayer in that way. Prayer is not an option. Prayer is not something extra that we can maybe do. We are called as disciples of the Lord Jesus to nurture the life of prayer and to understand our prayer is an oasis. For we live in a desert, a fallen world. And when we encounter God in prayer, He rejuvenates us, restores us, heals us. He gives us the water that brings life back to our souls. Prayer is vital and prayer is personal. Now, dear friends, our set prayers are very important in the church. So oftentimes I'll ask someone, "Are you a person of prayer?" "Oh, yeah, yeah, I pray. I do my morning offering. I pray. I say my prayer to St. Jude. And they begin to list all the set prayers of the church. These are important and a part of our tradition and our way of life. But you know what? The set prayers are important in themselves. Our set prayers are eventually to be a springboard into more personal prayer. Look, for example, when the apostles asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." What did He say? "When you pray, this is how you are to pray." And He gives us the Lord's Prayer. Not simply as a prayer in itself, but He gives us a template, an outline of what prayer is supposed to look like. That's true with all of our said prayers. They're important in and of themselves, but they also form a template. And eventually, again, those said prayers should be a springboard to launch us into personal prayer. When I open up my heart, the doors of my heart, I put down all the barriers and I begin to speak to God and talk to Him and listen to Him. Prayer is personal. It is a vital and personal relationship with the living and true God. You know, there are some Christians who say, "Well, I can't really tell God how I feel because I'm kind of angry at God. I can't say that to Him." Why not? Who told you couldn't say that to God? God is big. He can take it. If you're angry with God, that's what you need to say to Him. If you're disappointed, hurt, confused, that's what you need to say to Him. If you present yourself as a liar in prayer, "I'm okay, Lord. You're so wonderful. Everything's so great." That's not personal prayer, and that's a lie. You're going to lie before God? You need to tell God exactly where you are. Let's look at the example of Father Abraham. Father Abraham takes God out into the wilderness and begins to yell at him, "Where are you? I trusted you. I did everything you asked of me. Where's this son you promised me? When are you going to come through?" That's prayer. That's personal prayer. That's speaking from the heart. You know, God blessed Father Abraham. Blessed him for his transparency and his sincerity. He would not lie. We are not called to lie in prayer. We tell God where we are. We have to express where we are. Give him the joy and the triumph and the praise and the thanksgiving, but also the frustration, the anger, the impatience, wherever we are. God's providence has us where we are. It's no surprise to him, and we can speak openly. Prayer is a personal and a vital and personal relationship with the living and true God. Now, if we begin to understand prayer in this way, I hope that perhaps in your own heart you're saying, okay, this is exciting. This is interesting. I didn't know prayer was like this. I thought prayer was just asking for things. So, okay, so yes, I want to pray. I want to spend this time with God. How do I do that? And answer to that, Mother Church has prayer methods. Now, prayer methods is just a term. You must say, I've never heard that term before. Don't get stuck on the term. Prayer methods, just ways of praying. Mother Church will guide her children, guide each of us on how to pray. And there are different forms of prayer, different ways of praying. The important thing with the prayer methods is we never get stuck on them. We might start with one prayer method and slide to another. We might be in one prayer method and the Holy Spirit takes us beyond all the methods and just starts speaking to us. The task is to follow wherever the Holy Spirit leads us. The methods help us to engage in prayer, to spend time with God. Now, there are many prayer methods, and this Lenten season, we're going to be walking through several of them. The prayer method I want to introduce this morning is a prayer method known as Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina. It's a Latin term, even though the prayer method predates the Latin language. Lectio Divina. It simply means sacred page or sacred letter. Lectio Divina. The name is a reference to the written word of God, to the Bible. Lectio Divina is one of the oldest prayer forms in the church. In fact, that prayer form goes all the way back to the time of the prophets. We know that the prophets used Lectio Divina as God would speak to them, and they would begin to reflect upon what God had just said. What has God said to me? What does that mean? And they would begin to reflect upon his words. The prophet Jeremiah says that he would take the word of God and he would eat and munch on it. That's what we're called to do. Don't worry, not literally. Leave your missal books alone, okay? But the prophet Jeremiah says he would munch on the word of God. He would sit there. He would just let it come into his soul constantly, back and forth, eat and munch on that word. Lectio Divina was very popular in early church. We know that the early fathers of our faith, they used Lectio Divina to understand the Holy Trinity, to understand who Jesus Christ is. The early fathers of our faith used Lectio Divina to understand and to discern what books should be or not be in the New Testament. Lectio Divina was also very popular among our desert fathers and desert mothers. In the future, I would like very much to speak about our desert mothers. They don't get a whole lot of attention. There are some powerful, fierce women of faith who thrived in Lectio Divina and gave us powerful illuminations and understandings of God. Lectio Divina is a part of our tradition. You see, Team Grace, the sorrowful part is it's oftentimes the depth and the beauty of our faith we can't get to. So much of the work of Mother Church is just highlighting the basics. We are constantly having to foot stomp the basics because so many of the baptized aren't accepting or living the basics. Let's look at this Pew Research. From Pew Research, we are told that the majority of Catholics do not believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ. They don't believe that he's God. The majority of Catholics do not believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. The majority of Catholics do not believe in the real presence of the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. The majority of Catholics do not believe that God wants a personal relationship with them. That requires a lot of work. There's a lot of foot stomping that Mother Church has to do in order to emphasize the basics. And so oftentimes we spend all the time on the basics, we can never get to the depth and the beauty. Especially in terms of the spiritual treasury of the church. Here at Our Lady of Grace, we're going to try to take a few steps into the depth, which is why we're talking about the prayer methods, which is why this weekend we're highlighting Lectio Divina. We need to understand some of the spiritual patrimony, the spiritual treasures of the church. Lectio Divina is one of them. What does this look like? Lectio Divina is when you approach the written word of God which is a living word. When we read the scriptures, God is speaking to us. We look at a portion of the word of God, and we begin to ask the Holy Spirit to give us a portion of it. Now, someone could say, well, where do I get the word of God? What part do I go to? Well, there are many ways of doing this. Perhaps the easiest is you just go to the gospel of the day. Every day has a gospel assigned to it through the daily mass. You can just go to the gospel of the day, read it, and ask the Holy Spirit to show you a part of it. Sometimes it can be a whole verse. Sometimes it can just be a few words. You can ask the Holy Spirit, show me. Now, there are times, Team Grace, when we might read the whole portion of the scriptures over and over and over again, and the Holy Spirit doesn't give us a word. You know what that means? He just wanted us to read the Word of God over and over and over again, okay? But then there are other times we look at the Word of God and He gives us a passage. And once we have our passage, then we have to sit in prayer and begin to reflect upon that passage. What does that look like? Well, normally Lectio Divina is done kneeling, normally with palms up of your hands. Now, I used to like to do Lectio Divina like that. In my late 40s, I now find Lectio Divina to be a good sitting posture. So you can be kneeling, sitting, you can lie prostrate. You can have your palms open as you're kneeling or sitting. We see some of the prophets, they would actually go out and they would have the orans, which you can use for personal prayer. The orans, they would begin to do Lectio Divina. They were trying to understand what God was saying to them. They would just cry out the words of God given to them with the orans. You can do that. In your private prayer, you can do that. The posture you take that's going to help you. But you take that word of God and you just repeat it over and over again. Sometimes it'll be slow. Sometimes it'll be fast. You can imagine it being like an onion. Sometimes if we're in a hurry, we have to peel the onion fast. Other times when we have time, we might want to take that onion nice and slow. But the onion's being peeled and it's getting hotter and hotter. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. Our soul is being marinated by the word of God. And the Holy Spirit is just peeling that onion. Sometimes it goes fast. Sometimes nice and slow. Your Lectio Divina can be 3 minutes, 5 minutes. It could be an hour. Some of the spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers of our tradition have spent years on one passage of scripture. Teresa of Avila, one of the doctors of the church, spent 10 years just on Our Father. And even then she felt she had only begun to scratch the surface. So the Holy Spirit gives us a word and then we sit in prayer. And we just begin to repeat the word, that passage given to us. And we ask the Holy Spirit to take us deeper and deeper. So oftentimes you can begin Lectio Divina with a passage of scripture and think, I know what that means. And then by the time we're done with Lectio Divina, we can look and say, I had no idea what that meant. Either because we didn't understand it objectively or there was a subjective, a personal application that we weren't aware of. As you begin to do Lectio Divina, we shouldn't be surprised if the Holy Spirit brings up things from our lives because He's healing, He's restoring, He's lifting up, He's enlightening, He's teaching, He's correcting. That Lectio Divina, that Word of God, is just getting into our soul. It's transforming, it's correcting, it's healing. Our task is to let it work. The purpose of Lectio Divina is we leave that time of prayer and we have a greater understanding of ourselves, of our lives, of God, of what it means to be a child of God. Lectio Divina, again, is very important. It's essential to our tradition. And it's a prayer method I want to make sure that we are aware of as Christians. I want to encourage you in your own discipleship to be praying Lectio Divina. And to help you with that, I think this morning would be good if we did Lectio Divina together. Lectio Divina will only be for about a minute or a minute and a half. Not to tell you, as I was preparing for the weekend, I looked at the gospel for today's Mass, beautiful account of our Lord's transfiguration. And I thought, oh, beloved son, that's good. That's a good passage. Last night at the 4 o'clock Mass, Deacon Doc was proclaiming the gospel, and the Holy Spirit said, no, 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 no. He said, use well pleased. And I'm thinking, I kind of prepared the other one. He said, use well pleased. So you're the boss. Okay. So we're using well pleased. Drawing from the sacred scripture. We're just going to take about a minute, minute and a half, and do some Lectio Divina. If you feel comfortable, you can have your palms extended or not. And I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. Let's do this Lectio Divina. Well pleased. Well pleased. Well pleased. Well pleased. well pleased. Well pleased. Well pleased, well pleased. Well pleased. Well pleased. Well pleased. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. So there you are, Team Grace. That's Lectio Divina. Now I'm not sure why the Holy Spirit wanted well pleased instead of beloved Son, but he put on my heart last night, well pleased. And as I reflect upon it, I suspect the reason why God wanted us to hear that message today is because we live in a world that tells us we're not good enough. If we don't look a certain way, or we don't do something, or we don't have what they tell us we need to own, then we're not good enough. We live in a world that tells us that we are defined by our sins. We are the sum total of all of our sin. But that's not true. We are not the sum total of our sins. We are loved and the children of God. And that is our identity. We are, our Father is well pleased with each of us. And perhaps by sitting in that and knowing I am well pleased, the Father is well pleased with me. I'm a work in progress. There are things that need to be done that I can do better. There are things I need to reform in my life, but God is well pleased with me. And perhaps that's the message God wanted us to hear today through Lectio Divina. I'm going to encourage you tonight, Team Grace, for your night prayer. Look back at the gospel reading for today. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you a portion of the scripture. Spend a few minutes in Lectio Divina reflecting on the Word of God that the Holy Spirit gives to you. This is only one of the many methods of prayer in the church. I'm excited to walk with you through many other methods of prayer. And I'm excited that the people of God can once again claim their inheritance given to us in Jesus Christ to be a people of prayer, to turn to Him and have that vital and personal relationship with the living and true God.